Hey everybody, this is Bob Z, the pastor of Joy Christian Fellowship. I want to thank you for tuning into our podcast. I hope it's a word that will encourage you today. Let's remember in these challenging times we're living that God is still in control and that his love for us endures forever. Amen. God bless. Thank you for the gift of worship, Lord. You created us for worship. And we're going to worship something or someone, and I pray that all of us will worship you because you're the only one worthy of our worship. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking to this church this morning. Amen. Amen. Before we get into today's message, I want us just to think about some of the words that we just sang, words we spoke out. But don't think of them as just song lyrics that we sing. Think of them as declarations of truth, decrees that we spoke into the atmosphere here. Like I said, we have a influence on this campus. There's going to be 1,500 teenagers on this campus tomorrow, and some, a lot of them will be in here. So we hope when we fill this room with worship and praise that it the residue remains and it influences a lot of young people, decision making. I believe in that. I hope you do too. But there's power in the spoken word, right? I mean, our words carry power. Our words have the ability to hurt or to heal. Our words have the ability to encourage or discourage. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Imagine that. The power of the tongue. 1 Peter 3, verse 10 says, whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. In other words, don't tell lies. Tell the truth. Don't exaggerate. Tell the truth. Speak it in love, but tell the truth. In Psalm 19, verse 14, it tells us that may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. So our words carry power. And once they're out there, they're out there. There's no getting them back, right? And we made some powerful declarations just now during worship, right? We declared, great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Amen? He restored my broken heart. And he'll restore yours. And it's your breath in our lungs. Think about that. The king of the cosmos, the creator of the universe, his breath is in your lungs, Josiah. It's in your lungs, Louis. It's in my lungs. It's in your lungs. So we pour out our praise. Right? That's the only suitable response. We pour out our praise to you only, Lord. Because like I say, he's the only one worthy. And then we declared, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Did you ever think of your bones singing? That's what we just declared out loud. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And then we sang, your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. You've never failed me yet. We just sang that. You've never failed me yet. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like God has failed you? That somehow He didn't come through for you when you needed him the most. Yet we sing, you've never failed me yet. Or one of the other songs we sing, it says, you're never going to let, right? You're never going to let me down. But in our hearts we feel, but you did let me down. I can remember that time you did let me down. You didn't come through for me when I really needed you. Has anyone besides me ever felt like that? Because I felt like that for quite a while when our daughter Amy took her last breath here. And I realized it's a whole lot easier to quote scripture than it is to live it out sometimes. But thankfully, the Holy Spirit helped me by reminding me about a couple verses in Isaiah 55 that's not on the screen, but just listen to what God said to me in Isaiah 55, because people were quoting me scripture left and right, but the only one that really helped me was this one. Hopefully it'll help someone else this morning. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, the Lord said, "My thoughts are completely different than yours, Bob." Some translators say, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine, Bob. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, Bob. And so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And I read that over and over and over, and that was it. That was the only scripture that really helped me survive that time. And I realized I don't need to understand his ways and his thoughts to trust him. I want to understand him. I do, but I don't need to understand him to trust him. Took me a while to get there, but thankfully I got there. So I hope those verses will help you get there as well. Because sometimes we just need to be reminded, right? So I don't have any earth-shaking news this morning. I don't have any hidden gems of truth to reveal to you this morning, but I believe Holy Spirit wants to remind us just of how good God is, even when we don't understand him, or especially when we don't understand him. The title of this morning's message is God is Good. He is so, so good. And we're going to be in a bunch of the Psalms this morning. Psalm 138, 115, 34, 145, and 37. So, Father, this book of Psalms, it's a book of songs. So open it up to us this morning. Let it be more than just words on a page. Let it speak to what is going on in our hearts today, because your word's alive and it's active. So right now, it has a purpose for today, for this morning, for these people. So I ask, release it. Release the power of your word in this house this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Like I said, I'm not going to tell you anything new today. We've heard it over and over. We've read about it over and over. We sing about it over and over. But sometimes we just need to be reminded, especially when everything is so chaotic in the world today. There's so much tension and confusion and division and strife and envy, and there's deception and there's lies, there's exaggerations, there's hatred, there's anger. It just seems there's tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. Yet in the midst of all of that, I want to remind us, God is still good. He's so, so good. And we lose sight of that sometimes. And I question him at times too. How come, God? How come? How come this man celebrating his anniversary in Mexico dies? How come? But like I said, we don't have to understand him, to trust him. And I know he doesn't cause things like that, but we wonder, why didn't he prevent it? Why didn't he step in and prevent it somehow? You know, I struggle with that from time to time. Because I know God wants to do good for every one of us, regardless of all the rotten things we've done. I've done some pretty rotten things in my life. And yet he still wants to do good things to me. And he wants to do good things to all of us. And we know he's already got really good plans for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to bless our families. He wants to bless our parents and our grandparents. He wants to bless our spouses and our kids and our grandkids and our brothers and our sisters and our friends. And he wants to fulfill the desires that he puts in our hearts. And we need to be reminded that it's the Lord who meets all of our needs according to his riches, not ours. And how he fights our battles and he gives us the victory. How he's been faithful in the past and he'll be faithful in the present and he'll be faithful in the future, because his promise still stands. Great is his faithfulness. But he wants us to trust him more. We say, yeah, I trust him. I'm thinking, if we're trusting him with our eternity, Shouldn't we be able to trust him with the day-to-day stuff, like paying our bills on time, or, you know, kids getting well instead of staying sick? Can't we trust him more? Because he wants you and he wants me to be steadfast in our faith so that we can fulfill our God-given destinies. How many know God has a destiny for your life? We're not here just to see how much pleasure we can have or how much stuff we can accumulate. He wants to prosper us, but be careful how you define that word, prosper. He wants to give us hope. He wants to give us a future. And when our lives are truly committed to him, and we let him take the wheel instead of being just our co-pilot, he will fulfill his plan and his purpose for why he put us here. I hope that makes sense. We won't have to worry so much. We won't have to live in fear about all the evil and perversion around us. It's not on the screen, but listen to what the shepherd King David said in Psalm 138 in verse 8. He said, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me." The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. See, David trusted that the Lord would do that. Even though David screwed up big time. Just like us, David, far from perfect. But he's described as a man after God's own heart. And would anyone describe you or me as a man or a woman after God's own heart? Do we trust God the way David trusted God? David knew that the Lord's love for him endured forever, regardless. And every one of us need to know that too. Regardless, his love endures forever. He loves us because he loves us because he loves us because he loves us. And he's our help. He's our protector. He's our provider. He's not going to ignore us. He's not going to forget us. He'll remember us. He will bless us. He's got us engraved in the palms of his hands, right? And he sent his son Jesus to take all our sins to the cross. The sins we needed to be punished for, he was punished for. And the Bible says that if we'll confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord, we'll believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, that we would be saved. So it's confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart. God did all that for us. And he wants us to trust him more. Look what Psalm 115 tells us in verse 9, 10, and 11. O Israel, trust the Lord. He is your helper. He is your shield. O priests of Aaron, trust the Lord. He is your helper. He is your shield. All you who fear the Lord, trust the Lord. He is your helper. He is your shield. And we could put ourselves in that passage too and say, oh, people of Joy Christian Fellowship, trust the Lord. He is your helper too. He is your shield too. Look what the psalm writer says in verse 12 through 15 in that Psalm 115. The Lord remembered us, and he'll surely bless us. He'll bless the people of Israel and the family of Aaron, the priests. He'll bless those who fear the Lord, both great and small. I love that. May the Lord richly bless both you and your children. What a blessing. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. Do you see that? The Lord blesses all who fear him, whether they are great or small. It's not just for the super Christians. It's for all of us. And when I say we are to fear the Lord, I don't mean we're supposed to just be scared to death of him. How are you going to approach somebody with any confidence if you're afraid of them? We're to have a holy, reverent fear of the Lord, where we are in constant awe of his greatness and his majesty and his holiness and his power and his purity and his righteousness. We're to honor him. We're to exalt him with adoration and praise. We're to glorify him. We're to magnify his name. And I hope we do a good job of that in here and out there. But we don't want to run and hide from him because we're afraid of him. He is holy and he is just and he is pure, and he is righteous, but he's also compassionate. He's also merciful. He's also loving and kind and good. He's very, very good. And he's never too busy for us. We don't have to leave him a message on his voicemail, hoping he'll get back to us. He's always available for us, but are we always available for him? Have you ever noticed he never interrupts us when it's convenient for us? But we got to give him permission to interrupt us. His plans, like that verse says in Isaiah 55, his plans, his ways, his thoughts are so much higher than ours. Look what King David also wrote in Psalm 34, verse 5 through 6. He said, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. I like it, radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. In my desperation, I prayed. Have you ever prayed desperate prayers? I have. And the Lord listened. And David says, he saved me from all my troubles. The Lord listened to David's prayers, and he listens to your prayers, and he listens to my prayers, thank God. So be encouraged by that. David goes on in verse 7 through 10. He says, for the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him, meaning fear the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you, his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Lack no good things. But those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. One translation reads, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And I thought, man, we seek after a lot of things, don't we? This world offers a whole lot of things for us to seek after, doesn't it? Yeah, it sure does. And King David knew that all too well. So let's learn from this verse, those who seek the Lord, not seeking riches or fame or position or titles or trophies, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Those who trust in the Lord, not trusting in your intelligence or your bank account or your investments or your possessions, but those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. I said earlier, God wants to fulfill the desires he puts in our hearts, but we got to cooperate with him. We can't resist his way and think, no, I'm going to do it my way, and wonder, how come you're not blessing me, Lord? Right? We need to look to him as our source of help, not just ourselves. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how hard you work. I don't care how smart you are. Who do you think blessed you with the abilities and the talents you have? Right? Say, well, I took classes. Yeah, but who gave you the brain power to comprehend and understand and learn? And sometimes it's trial and error, and sometimes we learn through our mistakes. Oftentimes we learn through our mistakes. Man, there's some lessons I've learned the hard way. I don't have to relearn them. It hurt so much the first time I learned them. I don't have to relearn some of those lessons. But when we stumble, or when we fail or fall, or we don't accomplish what we thought we should have accomplished, instead of beating ourselves up over it or blaming others, we need to turn to the Lord. We can be encouraged, and we can learn from David again in Psalm 145. Look what he tells us in 145, verses 14 through 16. He says, the Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads. The eyes of all look to you in hope. You give them their food as they need it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. Listen, when our hearts beat in rhythm with God's heart, his desires will become our desires. And he will fulfill and he will satisfy those desires. I hope that makes sense. He'll satisfy the hunger and the thirst of every living thing. There's a physical hunger and thirst, and there's a spiritual hunger and thirst. And he'll satisfy all of it. Let's keep going. Let's look what David says in verse 17, 18, and 19. It says, the Lord is righteous in everything he does. Whether we understand what he's doing or not, he's righteous in everything he does. We don't have to understand him to trust him. He's filled with kindness. One translation says he's loving towards all he has made. The Lord is close to all, not some, not most, but he's close to all who call on him, yes? Listen to this, to all who call on him in truth. He grants or he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for help and he rescues them. The Lord satisfies all who trust in him. God's promises are for us today, and he promises to meet our needs. Every need that is in this room right now, he's more than able to meet that need. And I hope you believe that, because his sources are unlimited. This isn't on a screen, but the Apostle Paul, I think he wrote this for a refrigerator magnet company or maybe a t-shirt company a long time ago. In Philippians 4:19, he says, And my God shall provide, supply all your needs. You hear that? All your needs, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. According to his riches, not ours. Do we have to rely on the Lord's riches, not just our own human resources? Because his riches are unlimited. His supply room is bigger than all the Amazon warehouses put together. There's no end to it. So I know he can meet every one of our needs, every one of them. So let's not immediately get discouraged or lose hope or give up when our limited resources aren't sufficient enough to meet our needs. And I'm not just talking about financial needs. Let's lift up our eyes and look beyond our resources and put our trust in the unlimited riches of the Lord to meet every one of our needs. Not our wants, but our needs. There's a difference. But you know, he's so good, sometimes he'll throw in some wants there too, because he's that generous. He's that good of a papa towards his children. But all that's up to him. We got to be careful. We say, well, you did it for them. Why don't you do it for me? It's not up to us. It's up to him. His ways are beyond our ways, right? We don't have to understand him to trust him and trust that he's good. I also mentioned earlier that God is so good to us that he'll fight our battles and give us the victory. Our biggest battle, our biggest enemy is sin, right? The devil and sin. And God took care of that by sending Jesus, because we couldn't do it. He fought our biggest battle for us and he gave us victory. The Bible tells us no weapon formed against us will prosper. Boy, that's good to hear. And the Lord will cause our enemies to flee from us, the Bible tells us. It's not on the screen, but back in Deuteronomy 28, verse 7, it says, the Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They'll attack you from one direction, but they'll flee from you in seven. I like the way this sounds. In Jeremiah chapter 20, the Word of God tells us, but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. And the Lord is faithful even when we're not. He's proven his faithfulness from generation to generation. He was faithful to Moses and the Israelites when they were backed up at the edge of the Red Sea. And here comes the Egyptian army over the hill. Nowhere to go. And the Lord made a way for them where no one else saw a way. David remembered the faithfulness of God when he fought Goliath, right? He had history to fall back on. David knew that the same God who delivered him from the lion was the same God who delivered him from the bear, and it was the same God that would deliver him from this uncircumcised Philistine, as David called him. You notice David never called Goliath by his name? That uncircumcised Philistine. He was identifying him. He said, you got no right to this land. You're a Philistine. This is our land. God gave us this land. You got no right to this land. You're a Philistine. Never called him by the name Goliath. The prophet Daniel, he put his trust in the Lord's faithfulness. He was delivered from the lion's den. Now, I wouldn't throw myself in a lion's den and say, okay, Lord, rescue me. I wouldn't do that. But when we're facing a difficult challenge, and I know we have, I've talked to some of you, and we have, life's not getting easier, is it? But when we're facing a difficult challenge, we've got to remember the faithfulness of God in the past so it can inspire greater faith and trust in him in the present and in the future. Because he makes the impossible possible. He makes the invisible visible. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Another psalm that David mentions God's faithfulness in is Psalm 22. It's not on the screen, but in verse 4 and 5 of Psalm 22, David writes, in you our fathers put their trust. See, there was history. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and they were not disappointed. God's faithful, my friends. He is faithful, but we need to trust him more. I struggle with that from time to time. I'm sure you do from time to time. Listen to those two verses again. Psalm 22, verse 4 and 5. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and they were not disappointed. God will do his part, but we got to do our part. We have to, and we have a part. We can't just sit back and expect him to do it all. He wants us to trust him more. But we also need to be more patient and wait for God's perfect timing if we want to receive his promises. Remember, being patient, waiting on God, doesn't mean sitting around in a recliner doing nothing. Are we steadfast in our faith? Are we people of prayer? Or do we tend to give up easily when things don't go our way? When we don't see anything changing, we think, okay, well, I guess that's the way life's going to be. As Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We don't see it, but we're certain of it. That's faith. And we're sure of what we're hoping for. I told you this before. I have a Hebrews 11:1 wife. Bobby, my wife, is definitely a Hebrews 11:1 woman. As I said, when there was no evidence at all in my life that I wanted any kind of relationship with Jesus, she was thanking the Lord. She was thanking Jesus that I was the spiritual head of our home when there was absolutely no evidence of that. She was being sure of what she hoped for. She was being certain of what she couldn't see because there was no evidence that I wanted anything. Thanking the Lord that I was the spiritual head of our home. I was a head, all right, but it wasn't a spiritual head, more like a pothead back then. Definitely not the spiritual head of our home, not then. But what if she gave up praying and believing and trusting God? What if she just said, it's not working, I'm done? Thank God she didn't. I sure wouldn't be here today. I sure probably wouldn't even be alive here today if it wasn't for her prayers and the faithfulness of God. Hebrews chapter 11 tells of the great things that the saints of God accomplished for him through their faith, right? That's faith's hall of fame, Hebrews chapter 11. Steadfast faith. They didn't give up easily. They persevered. They kept the faith. Even though they faced different challenges, different situations, it was their steadfast faith in God that helped them overcome the many obstacles they faced and fulfill the task God had given them. Even those that went through great suffering and death, You know, we don't like to talk about suffering. Josiah and I were talking about suffering the other day. Look at Jesus' life. We don't like to sweat. We don't want to suffer. We want everything just... It's what the Bible tells me. And those people, a lot of them in Hebrews chapter 11, they didn't get to see the promises here, right? God will fulfill the promises. It may not just be here. We want it here. It may be later. But you know, the longer you live on this planet trusting in the Lord, the more you'll see His faithfulness. Down through the years, you'll see more and more of His faithfulness, and you realize just how good He really is. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. You know, when King David was getting close to the end of his life, he made this observation in Psalm 37. Look at verse 25 and 26 of Psalm 37. Once I was young, now I am old. Yet I've never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. The godly always give generous loans to others, and their children are a blessing. Another translation says that they're always generous. They lend freely. Their children will be blessed. He goes on later to say, the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful ones. Don't we want to be counted with the faithful ones? I sure hope so. David's not saying his life was easy. He's not saying he's never been in need, because we all get in need. Every one of us are needy people. It doesn't matter how much money or how little money we have. We're all needy people. And David's not saying that there weren't times in his life when he didn't need someone to help him. Because we all need help now and then. Sometimes I may need to help you, and yet other times you may need to help me. We're on this journey of faith together. And we need each other. Now, we all need Jesus, but we need each other as well. And David, man, that guy, he went through a lot in his personal life and his life as the king. And here in Psalm 37, I believe he's saying, even through everything I've been through in my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I've never had a moment in my life when God didn't take care of me. Right? Have you ever had a moment in your life when God didn't take care of you? I know sometimes it feels like that. But he said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. The Lord loves the just, and He will not forsake His faithful ones. So no matter how old we are, as the beloved children of our Heavenly Father, every one of us should be able to say, down through the years, the Lord has been very good to me. Amen? We've all suffered loss. We've all suffered heartache. But we should still be able to say, the Lord has been very good to me. Like I said at the beginning of this, I haven't told you anything new this morning. But hopefully it's been a reminder, a word of encouragement for us to not forget just how good our God is in the midst of the turmoil and the chaos and all the tragedy in the world and in our nation, in our communities, maybe even in our families. So let's complain less. Let's give thanks more, because God is good. He's so, so good. Amen. If you'll stand with me, I'm going to have a dismissal prayer. I'm going to say a prayer, and then I want who will come, and we'll just kind of stand around these shoes. You feel like praying out loud? Pray out loud. We just want to bless them before they leave here, that they'll get on the right kids' feet. And it'll help these children have shoes that wouldn't normally have shoes if it wasn't for the people of Joy Christian Fellowship bringing all this together. So this is our prayer. The Lord says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Lord, thank you for the promises in your word. Thank you that you are so good to us. Forgive us where we complain. Forgive us where we get easily annoyed or offended. Forgive us for not representing you well here in the earth. Help us do a better job as your ambassadors of representing the kingdom, not of this world. And now as we come together to pray, if anybody needs prayer for anything, by all means, I'll pray with you. You could pray with somebody. But we want to pray over these shoes, Father. You know who's getting these shoes. And we pray that they get to the right kid. And that the kid will get a lot more use out of them than we imagine. Thank you that we're trying to help others, Lord. You've put us here to serve one another. You came as a servant. Why should we think we should do anything less than serve others? So may your blessing be upon this day for the people in this room and for these shoes and where they're going. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.